everybody, welcome back to another episode of Built Like This podcast. I'm your host Maxine. We're on episode 301. Hi, welcome. I am in my spring break era. Yeah. So it's been very good to not have to wake up to an alarm. Even though my body just naturally wakes up early anyway, it still feels good to turn off my alarm clock. I just want to say thank you to all of the recent supporters, subscribers, and commenters on my podcast, on the YouTube channel specifically. So if you have yet to subscribe, make sure you are doing so now. That is your way of supporting me and this independent broadcast. So thank you in advance. Let's get started with Love is Blind. Just as you, I have been watching, I have been analyzing, I have been into it, and I am looking forward to the reunion episode coming up this week. I want to start off with the obvious. Let's start off with Clay, because I really don't give a fuck about Johnny and Amy. Shout out to them and their love. It seems like it's genuine, yada yada yada. I don't give a fuck. I want to get into the drama, as we all do. I remember watching, I was scrolling through my timeline on X and seeing this video of a guy. He immediately turned off. He was showing us that he was watching Love is Blind. And right after the Clay and AD scene, he turned it off because it started going into Johnny and Amy. Like, we don't give a fuck. I don't give a damn. Anyway, God bless their nuptials. Okay. Do I feel sorry for AD? Yes and no. Both things are true here. Yes, because I felt bad that she really internalized his response at the altar and saw it as a reflection of her self-worth. I definitely resonated with that. I remember many times in my previous relationships or situationships or dating scenarios with different men and always feeling like I wasn't chosen, I wasn't valued. I always felt like, how come not, you know, why not me? Why don't you pick me? Oh, here we go, pick me. But, you know, that's a real experience that I resonated with and that I've been through. So I kind of teared up in those scenes watching her because it really felt genuine. So, you know, I'm about to say my condolences. What? No, but there's a real hardship there thinking it's my fault. I've since grown out of that because I realized that, you know, it's not always this like reflection of you. It's more than often a reflection of that person. And I'm not trying to shoot down Clay as a lot of us are because it's the easy way to go. But I think it's also just to remind ourselves when people make decisions, it's based on what works best for them, at least what they think works best for them in that moment. It really has nothing to do with you. And this idea of, well, I could change him. I can make him want me. I can make him want to commit to me. No, I have grown out of that. I don't want to make you have to do anything for me. Like, I could share my desires for you, right? My desires for our relationship. But as far as making you want to be with me, I don't want to do that. And I haven't done that in a long time. So I've been there. I know how that feels. It definitely feels, it feels weak, right? Like you want to gain some level of control. So, but just in that mindset, if you feel like you want to gain some level of control, you feel weak in this scenario. So my heart went out to her. But ultimately, I think it's about, you know, we have to stop, as women, we have to stop thinking we can't control a man. You know, we could control anybody, you know, shit. You can't even really control your kids at this point. But we have to stop thinking that, and we have to stop thinking that it's a reflection of our self-worth. It literally has nothing to do with you. And I kind of spoke on this a while ago, an episode or two ago, how what we experience in our romantic relationships, it often does not have a reflection of who, of our worth, of who we are, and what we deserve. It really doesn't. Now, I like to come from a point of understanding. I like to see it from someone else's point of view. I do. I'm very reflective on that type of thing. And when I think about Clay, and he's young, right? I think he was, at this time of the recording, let's see, Clay, age, Love is Blind. I want to say he's in his late 20s. Oh, hold on. Never mind. He's 31. Okay. I mean, still relatively young. He has an interesting last name. His last name is Gravasonde. I mean, is he Italian? What's going on? Yeah, he is 31. Okay. How old is AD? Nonetheless, he is someone who... Oh, I can't find her age. He is someone who has relentlessly explained himself as someone who's afraid of marriage. He has said it time and time again. He has not made that unknown. He has not made that mysterious. And look, I understand the commentary of, well, why go on the show? Why go on the show if you're not ready? Because that's fucking life. What are we talking about? People do a lot of things in which they think they're ready, or in which they think they will be ready, right? Or they want to challenge themselves. You know how many times we take on roles, we take on relationships, we take on different projects, and we probably don't feel as ready as we present ourselves, but we still take it anyway? That's a part of the human experience. Like, cut the fuck, cut it out. Cut it out. We do that all the time. That's why... that thing, imposter syndrome is a thing. We are faking it until we finally believe it, until we finally think we are it. But until then, it's all a lie. Until then, it's all a lie. And I feel like in this case, you know, it's so easy for us to say, oh, well, he should have never, why go on a show with the intention of getting married if you choosing not to get, because that's life. That's what it is. Sometimes you change your mind. Sometimes you realize, you know what? I'm not as ready or at all as I thought or as I hoped I would be. This whole experience made me realize that I need more maturing, that I need to explore my my mind more. You know, you realize things about yourself and then you finally decide, hey, it's irresponsible for me to say I do. I guess this is me being a pick-me, but I understand why he said no. And he explained himself very well in that moment. Right in that moment, he said, it would be irresponsible for me to say I do. He has said to AD, he's seen his father cheat on his mom, year 7 of their marriage, which I feel like, why do you know the particulars? Why do you know the detail in that? That's like very strange. I hate that he was exposed to that, and I hate that he was brought on to the infidel field trips that his father took him on, but shit, I mean, look. I could relate. Let me just say that. I could relate. I had a very similar experience growing up when I was a young girl, and it really changed my mindset. It really shifted my mindset about marriage, about commitment, about love, about decisions. It really does a number on you mentally. And I'm not even going to say, oh, well, it's because, you know, oh, well, you know, when you get some therapy, you'll be able to move on. You'll be able to move on from that. You'll be able. I feel like sometimes when we all go through different experiences, during our formative years, there's a reason for that. Like, I don't think we're all supposed to think the same about a topic like marriage or any topic really. But when it comes to marriage, where I don't support the idea of having to subscribe to one ideology of it, or having to subscribe that, hey, when I'm in a relationship with someone, the intention, the end goal is to get married. I think it's okay if you've experienced something like what Clay did when he was younger, going on field trips with his dad, cheating on his mom. I think it's okay to realize, hey, you know what? Maybe I don't want to get married. Maybe I don't want to repeat this pattern. Or maybe I just don't feel about marriage the way that we're supposed to, quote unquote, in the society that we're in. So I also like to see from that standpoint of, we don't all, quote unquote, need to go to therapy when it comes to those specific things. I feel like we get so caught up in the, oh, go to therapy. Oh, he needs to go. Shut up. Like, maybe you're not supposed to think that way. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe you're not supposed to see it in one specific way. Like, maybe you don't have to get married. You know, I don't know. I do want us to explore that type of perspective and not shoot him for having that mindset. I think it's okay to have that mindset, especially from what he experienced. But you know, it definitely plays a toll. It plays a toll. So considering that she obviously would want for her husband, she hasn't made anything known that she's okay with him doing his thing outside of the marriage. So he's saying, look, it'll be irresponsible for me to say I do. And he's been sharing his fears and his qualms with this whole commitment thing. And he said this from day one, period. And then people saying, oh, well, he should have told her no before they went to the altar, just like Jimmy did to Chelsea. We'll talk about Jimmy and Chelsea in a moment. And I feel like, no, we're also on a show. Hello? I want the drama. Tell her no at the altar and see the tears well up in her eyes. I want to see that too. Cut it out, y'all. Like, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? I am thoroughly entertained right now. So no, I don't want him to, I would not have rather him said no before they made it to the wedding. No, break her heart right at the altar. Yo, bruise her right there. I'm dead ass. Like, come on. As viewers, as consumers of this content, this is what we wait for. This is what makes good TV. If everyone was a quote unquote good guy, then what's the point of us watching? We're not. That's why we turned off. That's why that video that I just talked about, that I came across on X, of that guy turning off the show right when it got to Amy and Jimmy. Is it Jimmy? Is that his name? Amy and Johnny, sorry. Amy and Johnny, he turned it off because don't nobody give a fuck. Okay, nobody cares about the happy ending. I want the drama. I want the mess. I want the tears. I want the heartbreak. I want to see that shit. Okay? It makes for good TV. So there's that. There's a bunch of conspiracies out here trying to explain why Clay didn't want AD, or why Clay didn't decide to just say yes and make it work with her. There's this idea of colorism being the factor here. And I'm gonna have to think about that, because
I feel like, again, it's so easy for us to instantly name all of these, like, isms. Oh, it's texturism, it's colorism, it's futurism. Some of us may not even know what that means, right? So futurism is if you don't have, like, if you are biased to a particular type of feature in a person, if you prefer more of a European feature or just a lighter context, well, that's colorism. But if you prefer more of a European feature in the context of a slimmer nose, you know, something that's anti-black, basically. If you want a woman who looks nothing like a black woman, then you're likely a futurist. A futurist, I guess that's how you say it. But yeah, there's futurism. So that's futurism. There's colorism. We all know what that is, I would think. We all know that by now. Is if he has a bias against darker skin women and he prefers more of a light bright. That's an option, right? And then there's texturism. Now, throughout this season, I haven't seen her hair to be anything but smooth. It looked like it was, obviously it was in a weave. I feel like her weave looked really good. It wasn't like one of those messy weaves that sometimes we'll see oftentimes from black women, but it was pretty slim. It was pretty smooth. Her leave out was, it looked pretty seamless across the TV. So I feel like her hair, her intention of her hair, I think it succeeded. Some people had different reviews to that, but I feel like her hair looked good. It always looked smooth and she looked good to me. But look, the way I see things may be different from how a man sees things. I've heard that men see things differently. So what's pretty to me may not be pretty to them. And maybe he may want a woman who wears her natural hair more, right? And oftentimes, the ones who wear out their natural hair, aside from the few darker skinned women who do wear their natural hair out, the ones who wear that natural hair out are typically a lighter skinned woman because their texture of their hair is quote unquote easier to manage and it's less maintenance. Is society, it's more accepted in society as far as just, I don't know. So there's something about seeing smoother texture or, you know, 3A hair type of hair out more than seeing 4C kinky type of hair out. This is all a thing. So these are all of the listed reasons that I've seen being perpetrated throughout the social media streets. What do I believe to be true? Let me take a sip of water. Hold on. Okay. Oh, another one. Butterface. A butterface, right? So those who may not know, because I grew up in the era in which butterface was a thing. And that means I love everything about you physically, but your face. It's really so childish. It's so childish, but this is something that I've experienced or that I've seen. So I know exactly what this means. I don't know. I really don't know. It could be all of these things. I do want to err on the side of maybe we're being too critical and, you know, and being so easy with our judgment here and instantly giving him these labels. Oh, he's a colorist. He's a texturist. He's a, you know, he's all of these things. And it's like, maybe he's not. Right? And I think it's so quick for us to be like, oh, he ain't even all that. No, that nigga's fine. Let's call a spade a spade. That nigga's fine. He is fine. Don't get me wrong. So don't suddenly discourage him just because he didn't give you the fairy tale answer that y'all wanted, even though he said time after time, I'm not ready for marriage. Like, that's what he said. There's no shocker here. Anyway, yeah, I think he's fine. One thing that came up that reminded me of what I noticed in the earlier episodes of this season when it comes to Clay. I noticed his mannerisms in the pod and his eyes, something about his mannerisms, the way that he would move his hand and just the way that he spoke in the pods. It made me wonder about his sexual identity. Let's just say that, okay? It did make me wonder if he was gay. Let me say it plain. It did make me wonder. But I said, you know what? Let me just stop. You know, we got so easy in instantly labeling men gay if they don't meet this, like, hardcore alpha appearance. And I feel like with Clay, though he may not be, because I don't think he's a Kappa or an Alpha, even though his father's an Alpha, so maybe he is an Alpha. I feel like we would have seen that in his home, like some type of paraphernalia. Is that what it is? Ugh, sorry if I said it wrong. Don't hit me, Kappas. He looks like he could be one of them. He looks like a Kappa for sure. And if not a Kappa, definitely an Alpha, Phi Alpha type of man. So I bring that up because they have a particular type of appearance. They're more of a pretty boy, smooth type of guy. So let me not even put on the label of him possibly being gay as the reason why he can't commit. I think that's so silly and childish. So my apologies for even thinking that. But that has been something that I've noticed come up as one of the theories. I think we should just take things face value and take it as, no, she is a beautiful woman. I don't think it had, like, not every dark-skinned woman has experienced this colorism struggle. Like, stop putting that on her. Like, I feel like that's so lazy for us to say, oh, he's a colorist, he would rather a light-skinned woman. No! When did he say that? When did he ever say, I usually go for women who are lighter skin, red bone? Like, if he said that, then that would be an understandable connection or theory that may be proven correct for the situation. But that's not the case. He's never said that. What he has said that made me wonder if he was even attracted to her, he said when he saw her at the pods, out of the pods, he said, okay, I could work with that. Now, let me just say this. The way they communicated with each other, AD and Clay, was very childlike. I feel like they kept on saying these one-liners that didn't demonstrate any level of maturity. They were talking, I saw a tweet or even an Instagram comment saying they talk like they're in the Instagram comment section. And that's very much true. They, like, she would say, oh, you see it, you see the material. That's something that you say in an Instagram comment after looking at your girl's photo or your friend's photo as a woman and saying to that girl, oh my gosh, girl, I see the material, look at you, you know? And he speaks like that as well. He'll say, ooh, okay, body, like, what? Ah, it's just so childish. And for him to say that, when she was walking towards him and at the altar, I was really taken aback. Like, I would have been so, my pussy would have been so dry. I would have been so turned off. Like, why are you saying okay body as I'm approaching you at the altar? You should say, you look so beautiful, baby, you look so beautiful. You know, speak to me in a full sentence. Speak to me in a full, grammatically correct, complete sentence. Don't use a comma splice. Don't even use a semicolon. No. Put a period at that. And don't even say period. And she kept they were just so fucking weird. Like, period. You see the material? Okay, body. Ooh, I see you. I see. Like, what are we? Is this your homegirl? Are you guys friends? Platonic friends? No? Speak to me as your woman. I would be so turned off if my man said, okay, body. Ooh, and I respond, you see the material? You say that to your homegirls, not to the man you're about to marry. Oh, that shit was so irritating. Like, can y'all be fucking for real? she might as well said, are you being fucking for real right now? BFFR. BFFR. When he said what he said, right? How, you know, it'll be irresponsible for me to say I do. Yada, yada, yada. She should have responded like, BFFR. BFFR. Oh my gosh, BFFR. But so no, I don't think it's any of those theories. I don't think it's colorism. I don't want to say everything is butterface or gay rumors. I don't know. I just feel like when he said he could work with that, I do think that is just one of the things that he said as just the way that he communicates. That's just, he doesn't communicate like a mature adult would to his woman, you know? So, oh, I could work with that. What? It's like, what are you saying? Like, that shouldn't be your instant response. It should say, wow, babe, you look so beautiful. You look so good. Oh, I'm so happy to see you. And he kept twirling her around. And granted, she has a beautiful body. She does. Don't get me wrong. But it looks like that is what he was only mesmerized by. Her body. Not her mind. Not her smile. Not her intelligence. Not like, give me something else. What is it about her body? And remember he kept mentioning how he'll be the type of boyfriend who would hold his woman accountable if she were to gain weight and, you know, get fat, basically. He said, oh, you getting fat. Let's go to the gym. Da, 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 da. Come on, lose that weight. Da, da, da. And he thinks that's coming from a place of love. And he may intentionally feel that way. But man, no. There's a way to go about it. Like, hey, babe, I noticed that, you know, there's a way to be gentle with it. But the way that he explained himself, how he would share his feelings if his wife got big, definitely made you feel like, yeah, I feel unsafe here emotionally. So, yeah, I just feel like all these things aside, I just think he wasn't ready. I think he probably went into the experience hoping that he would get ready, hoping that this would challenge him to be a better man, quote unquote. But I don't think that is something he eventually experienced. And she just so happens to be the receiving end of that. I noticed that she said, you know, he could have done anything and she still would have rode for him. She still would have said yes. And I just felt like, girl, that sounds so stupid. Girl, what? This whole like ride or die mentality that some black women have is so dumb. He could have done, oh, so he could have raped a bunch of people. He could have R-worded a bunch of people and you would have still said yes. Like, be fucking for real right now, girl. It's not ever that serious, girl. But you still would have said yes to a man who you met 2 weeks ago if he would have done anything. Girl, that doesn't even make any sense. What are you saying? Like, stop painting yourself as more of the victim here by demonstrating your endless love for this man. Who, did you really know him like that? Did you know his last name was Greta, some type of Italian last name? You know, it's just so silly. But, you know, God bless them. So funny. God bless them. Oh, another thing that made me notice something was when he said So after he said no, he was in his confessional. He's like, you know, I feel like if, you know, if he answered two questions, he said, well, he asked himself two questions, then he answered them. He said, if I said no, if I say no to these two questions, then I feel like I'm not ready to be a husband. And one, the first question is if I'm deeply in love with the woman. And he said, no, he's not deeply in love with AD. And the second question is if I feel secure with her personal finance. And I'm paraphrasing, but basically that was the question. Like, he doesn't trust or he doesn't feel secure with what she got going on financially. And that made me wonder, actually, exactly what does she do again? From what I remember, she said she was a cheerleader for some type of team, some type of sports team. I know she's from Boston, so shout out to her for being from Boston. Hey, hey, hey. But she moved to North Carolina, or where they are. I think that this season's in North Carolina. So she moved to North Carolina and she became a cheerleader for some type of sports team in that area. And from what I know about cheerleaders for any sports team, whether that's basketball or football, they get paid peanuts, okay? It's really pathetic. Like, you think teachers get paid poorly, which is a misconception oftentimes. They really get paid poorly. They get, like, you have to have a full-time job. Not even a part-time, you know, a side gig to supplement your income. No, no. You have to have a job that actually has income to be able to survive on whatever salary, whatever compensation you're given as a sports cheerleader. They get paid crumbs. Like, it's, I don't know why they desire to work that job. You know, I think it's the look of it, you know, it looks good as far as being physically fit and being adorned, being this person you're seen as, you know, at the game, you're this popular girl, sure. But you literally get, what's the paycheck? Peanuts. That's the paycheck. So if that's what he means, yeah, I want to be secure with that personal finance either. That's one. And then she says she's also a manager at a nightclub. And it's like, girl, what does that even mean? What do you mean? You manage the bottle girls? How much do they, like, how much do you get paid for that? Like, yeah, that girl is broke. She's broke. So all this conversation about whatever they kept talking about throughout the season, I felt like they didn't really get into the nitty gritty of what a marriage would look like between them logistically. Is he someone who would cover the sole causes of the sole cost of their lives together? Or are they going to split it in some form or fashion? What will it look like for them to be together realistically? So they didn't have much conversation about that. And I feel like that is another sign of him saying, of him about to say no to her. Because there was no at least I missed it, maybe. No, I'm trying to remember. There weren't any signs or conversations, literal conversations of them having with each other of the life that they plan to have. As for Amy and Johnny, there's so many Jane, who is on the show? Anyway, as for Amy and Johnny, they had conversation after conversation. They were very straightforward. They planned things out. They talked about children. They talked about their finances. They talked about their financial goals and different goals that they will want to accomplish. He wants to retire early. So the lifestyle currently that he has is very frugal. He values travel, but it's not, like, his life is not filled with luxury. And that's because he wants to retire early. And she was on board with that. She's someone who, she does have her finances in order, but she's very spontaneous. And as far as he, like, you know, I feel like they kind of mesh well and they were very transparent with each other. It seemed like they really said, no, we're literally going to say I do. We're moving forward and this is our love. So there's that. You know, I feel like, yeah, again, with AD and Clay, there weren't any conversations between them that demonstrated a desire to really build a life together. So, of course, he didn't feel comfortable with her personal finance because what is it? What is it? And then she was getting mad at him for being out working, quote unquote, and because he does sales, and from what I know about sales, sometimes you do travel, you know, you have to meet the client wherever they are to get that sale. So I think that is an easy excuse for him to have to be outside of the house. So I remember she showed her disappointment with the times that he would stay out too late or stay out completely. He didn't come home that night because he stayed nearby the workplace because it just made more sense logistically. And what I wonder is, does he tell her in advance, or is it something like, hey, by the way, I'm not gonna come home tonight? You know, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like, child, if I was married to someone like that, it'll be like, you know what, at this point, just be fucking for real, because I was working late. Remember that movie, Two Can Play That Game? Was it Two Can Play That Game? Yeah, Two Can Play That Game, starring Vivica A. Fox and Gabrielle Union, who looks unrecognizable these days. Oh, it's so sad to see how she's turned out. I used to like her back in the day. I really did. I loved her in Deliver Us from Eva and Two Can Play That Game. The Tyler Perry movie where she was a lawyer and she was helping out. Was it Idris Elba with the kids? Yeah, that movie. She was great. But ever since she's been with Dwayne? Ever since she's been with Dwayne Wade and raising up their transgender kid, it's been downhill. She recently came out with her face looking like plastered on. And I'm not talking about makeup. I'm talking about her looking completely done up. Like, eyebrows completely removed and pushed upward. Her eyes permanently sealed in one position. Like, she looks unwell. So God bless her, child. Why did I bring her up? Hold on. In that movie, Two Can Play That Game, they talked about, it stars Vivica Fox. I don't want to focus on Gabrielle Union, but Gabrielle Union was in that movie anyway. So yeah, Vivica Fox talks about, you know, if a man says, you know, here are some big signs, big red flags when a man says, of a man showing that he's cheating on you. If he says he was working late, I was working late. And there's a scene I still remember because I love that movie, but I used to love that movie when I was younger. Yo, when I tell you, I know a lot of things as far as men behavior and just like personal experience that I've witnessed and experienced myself. I could see it before it happens. You know what I mean? Like, I could kind of like, okay, let me not. Anyway, I just know a lot. Anyway, so one of the clear signs is I was working late. And that's the scene where it was one of the guys, I think it was just a character for that moment, saying, I was working late. And he said it in that tone too. I was working late. Yo, that was a funny ass scene. I was working late. Anyway, I was working late indeed. So yeah, this show, that moment in that, in this show with Clay stepping out and staying at another place because it was nearby, I was working like, nigga, you was with somebody else. Just be fucking for real. Be fucking for real right now. BFFR. BFFR. So I was working late. You're with somebody else. Got it. But anyway, yeah, Clay and AD, God bless. Okay, Jimmy and Chelsea. Jimmy is hilarious. For him to end it with her in that scene, and it did feel sudden, because prior to that, yes, they've had back and forth, and they were seemingly just in a toxic relationship. You know, I do think it's for the best that they don't marry, but I felt like he kept repeating to her, kept love bombing. I hate that term too, but he kept love bombing her, saying, I love you so much. And it's like, okay, but what? you don't want to move forward with the marriage. It did feel kind of out of nowhere. He explained himself by saying, well, he didn't like the fact that she, you know, she was just insecure ultimately with his female friends and the friendship that he has with that woman, because apparently they used to have a sexual relationship. And maybe they were actually together, but from how it's painted, it seemed like they just smashed. Like, it wasn't more of that. It wasn't anything more than that. She had her issues and was very uncomfy. I'm uncomfy. But Jimmy, do you love me? Jimmy! Ugh, she is insufferable. Oh my god, her Megan Fox looking ass. What? It's like, I could kind of see it if I close both of my eyes, I could see. If I close both of my eyes and if I wince, right? If I like really tighten my eyes, I could kind of see Megan Fox. I could kind of see it. But yeah, she that marriage would have been doomed anyway. I think it's for the best that he said no. Come to find out, Trevor, who I thought initially she should have said yes to. I felt like, dang, she made a big mistake by saying yes to Jimmy. She should have said yes to Trevor. Trevor seemed like a genuine guy. According to just a preview of the reunion show, we see that Trevor may have had a whole relationship the whole time, and there's been supporting evidence of that circulating on social media. So we'll see what's revealed on the show. You know, typically they would deny that. At the very least, he may say, look, I was with someone, we called it quits, but we realized we really love each other and want to make it work. So after the show, we got back together. How convenient is that, huh? So I feel like it may be one of those explanations. We'll see. But nonetheless, I think Chelsea is someone who needs some type of security blanket constantly. And that's exhausting. You know, you don't want to be with someone who has to constantly make you feel secure with them. And I feel like that sounds harsh, right? That sounds harsh to say, but I'm being so for real. Like, it really is no one else's responsibility to make you feel secure. It's not, right? Like, sure, my actions could help aid that, but you should feel so secure within yourself that regardless of how I act, it has nothing to do with you. Like, your security should still be intact. I'm dead ass. Like, it's really, it's more of a you problem than it is a Jimmy problem. So sure, maybe his friendship with his female friend may have been crossing boundaries. Maybe she called late at night. Maybe he always spent time with her outside of Chelsea. Maybe. But, okay, what is your responsibility now as a woman in this situation? Either put up or shut up. What are we talking about? You, like, crying to him, saying, I don't want to be with someone who calls me clingy. Bitch, you are clingy. You are, though. I don't know. I feel like she kept on finding every reason to make him seem like he's the bad guy. And she barely showed any amount of responsibility, of accountability. She never said, you know what? I am being clingy right now. That's because I'm feeling a little insecure about us. You know, like, explain it. Like, look, yeah, you're right. I have been clingy. I know that's a word that's like a taboo word. You don't want to call your woman clingy. But clingy is what clingy does. Okay? Clingy is what clingy does. And so if she comes off that way, how about you just reflect? Reflect on your way of being and operating, and, you know, let that allow you to grow and be a better person. What am I saying? Moving on. Okay, so I want to just talk about Indy for one quick moment. I'm seeing a lot of, yo, shout out to AD. She's a girl's girl. She stood up for Laura against Sarah Ann in that one-on-one conversation that she had with Sarah Ann. But I tell you, I was so triggered by this conversation. I was so triggered by the conversation, okay? I was triggered for a number of reasons, but what I really want to focus on, just naming the fact that was not her place to do so. That was not AD's place to say anything to Sarah Ann. It was not her business to interfere and say, so what's going on between you and Jeremy? It was not her business at all. It was not. At one hand, I thought she was just speaking to her. I thought she was just speaking to her as like, hey, girl, what's, you know, has kind of like a friend. Instead, her goal was to chastise her and just be in their business as a nosy person. I felt like that was so out of line. I thought AD was foul for that. And I think Sarah Ann handled herself pretty well. She was calm. She was collected. She called her out in one moment. I think she said, okay, yeah, so you read the text. That's, you know, what I said was, because AD kept on responding, oh, I read the text. Like, girl, how are you gonna tell me what I said? You may have read the text, but I know what I said. Let's start there. And then AD getting mad, I would love to finish my point. Don't cut me off. I would love not to be into, or whatever she was saying. It's like, but you're cutting off Sarah Ann as well. And this is the conversation. Let it flow. Let her speak. Let her fucking speak. You know, like, you getting mad for what? For what? For a man doing what he does? Oh, but you put a... No, I did not. This grown-ass man decided to take what I said as bait, quote-unquote, and pursue me? What's that got to do with me? That's why I just don't believe in the whole idea of wrecking the home, being a home wrecker, or, you know... The fuck? Your home has nothing to do with me. Okay, their home was already, and I'm happy Sarah Ann said that, like, their home was already wrecked. He made it seem to me that it was already unstable, that he was already on the way out, yada, yada, yada. And look, whether you want to take that as a good character flaw or bad character flaw on Jeremy, so be it. I don't care either way. But the point is, putting the blame on Sarah Ann at any point, it's silly. It has no, like, none of that has anything to do with her. Jeremy decided to spend the whole night up until 5:30 in the morning with Sarah Ann because he wanted to. Not because Sarah Ann twisted his arm. Not because Sarah Ann had a gun to his head. No, he wanted to see what that Japanese pussy looked like.
I'm about to say Jamaican.
Hello? Because she's some type of Asian. She has Asiatic features, okay? He wanted to see what was going on. Laura seems very uptight. Laura seems like she didn't... Let me stop. Victim blaming. But you know what I mean? Like, cut it out, dog. Oh, if Sarah Ann wouldn't have texted him. No, this is a nuanced situation. This whole experience is nuanced. So sure, maybe not in the real world, she would have done, she would have done that. But nonetheless, people do whatever they want to do. Let's just say that. Let me say that. People do what they want to do. He spoke to her. He spent time with her. He spent time until 5:30 in the morning with her because he wanted to. Not because Sarah Ann forced him in any way. He wanted to. Cut it out. So I thought AD ultimately was out of line. She was rude. She was entitled in that conversation. And I don't feel like that was her place at all. At all. Laura, like, if she wanted to have a conversation with Sarah Ann, okay, sure, but ultimately, if I was Sarah Ann, I would be like, talk to your man. Keep it between you and your man. We ain't got shit to say to each other. What the woman to woman, my ass. I ain't got shit to say with you. What are we talking about? Okay. Kenneth and Brittany. Now, I damn near forgot about them. Okay. I damn near forgot about them. You know, when they started off, I was thinking like, oh, this may work out. They seem to have really genuine conversations and they seem to be into each other. I think both of them was pleased with each other physically when they met. It seemed like it was going to work out. But again, something about Kenneth. Something, I keep trying to call him Matthew. He looks like a Matthew, but his name is Kenneth. I don't know if it's the braids. I don't know if it's the mannerisms. I don't know if it's him being 26 years old. He's super young. And he's a principal? He's a middle school principal? Mm-mm. I don't like that. I don't know. Something about that. As someone who... I don't know. There's something to that, y'all. And I'm saying this as someone who works in education, who's seen men in certain positions in education who are of younger age and the type of men who are in those positions. And I hate to be stereotypical, but I think from my experience, a lot of the Black men who I see in education who happen to be young, who happen to be Black, and who happen to be of an elite position like a principal or some level of an administrator, they're gay. What are we talking about? That they put so much of their energy in their work because they're still not in that position of feeling comfortable with their alleged sexuality. Let's just say that. This is all of my opinion. This is all of my experience wrapping into what I believe to be true. So don't take my word as Bible, but I mean, acts and walks and talks like a duck. It is. You know, not once did I see Kenneth hold Brittany and say, you know, you look good, baby. You know, I love the way you smell, baby. Like, he didn't kiss her around her neck. He didn't do anything that made me feel like, okay, he's into me. And she's a pretty girl. Okay, I give it to her. She's a pretty girl. He's the type of Black man who I've noticed in education. He's so in love with the idea of things, so in love with the idealistic approach to things, right? You saw how he kept on praising AD and Clay. Look at this black love. Oh my God, look at this black love. Talking just like that. And it's like, sir, you with a white woman, shut the fuck up. And no shot to Brittany. I think she's a cool girl. I really do. I will be in support of her being with a black man. I am in support of that interracial relationship. But I think, again, something about him idolizing AD and Clay, the image of that, he seems like this type of black man in our society who would put in reverence a Michelle, a Big Mike, and Obama. Excuse me. If you know, you know. He seems like that type of guy. And yet, in his real life, he can't get any level of a Michelle or a Big Mike, however you want to name her. However you want to name her, he can't get either one of them. Because why? He plays for the other team. So when Brittany said, I wish I felt this like yearning towards you, you know, basically I'm paraphrasing, but she basically was saying she doesn't feel that type of energy towards him, that she wants to pounce his bones, and she hates that she doesn't feel that way. And she's really upset that she doesn't feel that way. She's crying. And he's seated there like, oh, well, I don't know. You know, just like, I don't know if he was being nonchalant. He did say he does feel that way towards her and try to make it seem like it's a one-sided thing. But I don't think he does. I don't think he does feel that. I don't think he finds her unattractive necessarily. I just think that he doesn't find himself attracted to her. If that makes sense. He doesn't find himself attracted to her because he's not attracted to hers, okay? He's not attracted to hers. And he's able to, like, articulate himself pretty well. He's able to communicate pretty effectively. But you can see that he lacks that romantic just chemistry with this woman, with a woman. And I see that a lot in education. Having worked in education for the past 10 years now, I see that a lot. A lot of black men who look like him. Now, I'm not even just talking like his like physique and his body type, but I'm not talking about that necessarily. I'm just saying black men with his type of mannerisms, his just like appearance overall in education, and who's further in like the totem pole in education, being a whole school principal at the tender age of 26. Yeah, I don't think he can be further in a romantic relationship even if he wanted to, because he is so unserious. Like, he's not straightforward with really what he's looking for. So he's caught up in the whole idea of black love and the surface of things and the optics and yada, yada, yada. But he's not with a black woman, and he's never been. I'm not saying never been, but I just don't find him someone who could really be with a black woman. Okay, so let's just say that, you know, no shot to him. Seems like a cool guy. After I shoot him down, no shot to him. But yeah, I think that's pretty much it. Let's see what else. Johnny and Amy. Okay, Johnny and Amy, child. Okay, they're the only ones who said yes at the altar. And, you know, God bless their nuptials. That's great. What I want to point out about their marriage is, I think Amy, she's someone who is a good girl, quote unquote. Like, she doesn't want to appear as a full actualized woman on TV, because she's someone who really cares about the opinion of her father, of making her parents and her family proud. So she doesn't want to appear too sexual and too sensual in any sort in her interaction prior to the marriage, prior to the wedding day. So, you know, when we notice them talk about sex and how, oh, we're not having sex yet. I'm not on birth control and he doesn't want to have kids right now. And it's like, okay, girl, you ever heard of pull out? What are we talking about? I'm not on birth control either. Have you ever heard of pulling out? It works. I know we like to shame that practice, but it does work. If you know how your dick works, you know when to pull it out, you know, or if you know when you're ovulating, you know, like if you know your body, it's all about knowing your body. If you know your body and how your body works, you know the times you could get pregnant and the times you could get a woman pregnant, right? You know, if you're the man and you're trying to figure out when to pull out, you know, if you know your body, you know when you're about to come. Go ahead, pull that dick out and come on my stomach. Hello? Is the mic on? Pull the dick out and come on my stomach. So they're, just be fucking for real. They're BFFR. So I think they definitely were having sex. She keeps on saying, and him too, that they're attracted to each other, yada, yada, yada. Yet, why aren't y'all, and they're making out, they're kissing. Okay. So when the cameras go off, y'all not going to Pound Town? Okay. BFFR. So again, I think it's just her trying to present this good girl image. She really cares about the opinion of her family and don't want to embarrass them. So I think at the very least, that is what she's trying to do here. Because this silly ass excuse and her then deciding, you know, I'm open to going on birth control. Like, girl, shut up! You would have known to go on birth control. Like, I'm not even a condom gal. I can't tell you the last time I had a condom in me. I can't tell you the last time. I can't. So what are we saying right now? But I don't know. So God bless their nuptials. I wish them well. Okay, you guys, I'm going to go ahead and end the episode here. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your support. If you are, this is my call to action moment here. If you are someone who creates beats, you know, you're a music engineer, a sound engineer, whatever the terminology is, and you would like to create a beat for the intro of this podcast, I'm looking for something catchy, for something reflective of me. Maybe you could add some of my verbiage in the intro. You could have a fun, catchy beat, a nice little tune. Just an original song that you could create that lasts for 30 seconds, if that. 30 seconds is the max. So if that is you and you are interested, please share your ideas with me or submit your file. Submit your project to me at talk@builtlikethis.org. That is where you will send that submission and we'll go from there. So I look forward to any submissions and I really am thinking about, you know, incorporating some more original sound in this podcast and getting rid of, or just moving forward from the original sound that I've had. Shout out to Beyonce, but you know, I wanna move forward with something original. So anyway, if that is you and you're interested, again, please send your submission to talk@builtlikethis.org. Goodbye. I'll see you guys next time. Peace.